Practical Christianity. God is practical. So practical. I was telling our guys in our elders meeting this morning, I used to go knocking on doors on Saturday, invite people to church on Sunday. And we'd invite kids to Sunday school. We carry a Bible with us, you know. But I noticed that some of the people that are in our team, they'd carry around this big honking Bible like this. Like, hey, I just wanted to talk to you about the Bible today. You know, like, people's, what? You know, not this big, but I had one that's, you know, it's Thompson chains. It's about this big, but about three times as thick. And I could tell it was intimidating. I tell it was too much. Now, thank God for having the Holy Spirit to tell you what to do. The Lord said to me, He said, carry a big Bible in your heart and a little Bible in your hand. I go, that's a good idea. I mean, I have a little pocket Bible. You have a little pocket Bible? Gideon's had a little pocket Bible. New Testament and Psalms. Okay, I used to use that all the time. Okay, have a little Bible. I'm going to talk to the people. They're going to ask me some generic, basic questions. I'm going to ask them. I don't need to take them through all the Bible maps. I don't need the whole old New Testament notes, and I don't need a whole Scofield reference Bible to say what's this and what's that and why this. Okay, just take a little Bible. Okay, so the Lord gave me. This is some practical things. God's practical. But church many times is not practical. We want to be practical. My wife is much more practical than me, even to a pain sometimes, okay? So you get two kind of people. You get a visionary and you get a practical. A visionary says, we can do this, we can do this. And he goes, it'll never work. That's going to blah, 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 blah. You know, and then you got to somehow, I want the practical person to make my vision work. How many people are visionaries in here? Come on, you do visionaries know? Visionaries usually don't know they're visionaries. The practicals know that the visionary. How many of you here are practical people, okay? And how many of you know visionary people who don't know what they're talking about, okay? Okay, yeah. It just happens. But you need both. But God is both. He'll give visions, but he also says, you got to do it this way. You got to do this way. You got to do it this way. You got to do it this way. Okay? You know, in the Bible, God sent his royal messenger, Gabriel, to talk to Mary. And he said, Mary, you're highly favored, you're blessed, you're wonderful, you're going to have a baby, if it's all right with you, Mary. And she said, be it unto me. Now, he had to ask permission. If Mary would have said no, that's that. He wasn't going to violate her person. By the way, if you want God to do something in your life, you have to give him permission to some places. If Mary would have said no, he said, well, God made Mary have that baby, even though she didn't want it. No, she was willing. She did have a question. How am I going to have a baby when I've never known a man? And the angel graciously answered and said, hey, the power of the Most High is going to come upon you. And the glory of God is going to overshadow you, and that which will be conceived in you will be of the Holy Spirit. She goes, oh, okay. Now, Zechariah, who was Mary's cousin's husband, had the same thing. He said, he had Gabriel saying, hey, your wife, Elizabeth, she's past the time, but she's going to have a baby. And he's going to be the prophet of the highest, and this and this and this. And he didn't ask him permission because he was a priest. He's already gave away all his permissions, okay? And Zach goes, how can this be that an old lady has a baby? He goes, you're a priest? You're a son of Abraham? Haven't you ever heard about Abraham and his wife having a baby? You've never heard of an old lady having a baby before? See, his question was full of unbelief. He should have known. If God wants to do it, he goes, and you know what Gabriel said? He goes, listen, I'm Gabriel. I stand right next to God all day. Are you telling me God can't do it? And the Bible says his mouth was closed and he was mute until the baby was born and came to be named. Because he didn't believe. Mary believed and gave permission. Zechariah, the priest, the guy who's in there in the temple burning incense before the Holy of Holies, he didn't believe. And he had precedent. Because Sarah had a baby. Other people had babies that they were too old to have a baby. They had a baby. But he didn't believe it. He'd been praying about it. He goes, I've heard your prayers. I heard your prayers that you asked for a baby. And they go, "How? That can't happen. You just prayed. You asked me. You already prayed for this baby. And now you say you don't know how it can happen. He goes, I'm God. Any more questions? Now, shut up until it's over. You don't get to play because you didn't believe. God's very practical. Matter of fact, a couple years ago, the Lord said to me, fall in love with good water. I'm dealing with health issues. I'm searching out vitamins. I'm searching out nutrition. The Lord said to me, something really practical. Drink good water, which means make sure your water that you drink for coffee, water, soda, I mean, not soda, but for tea and things like that, is of the highest quality. Filter your water. Drink filtered water. Drink good water. My well water is good for washing dishes and taking a shower, but it's not good. It's really hard. It's full of lime. You know, if it gets on stuff, you can see all the stains. And you take that in, it gets into your guts and your bones. I said, okay. That was a word for me. Fall in love with good water. It didn't sound too spiritual, did it? It was good. Oh, yeah. The Lord knows how to give practical words. I say, okay. How many of you have ever lost something and the Lord helped you find it? How many of you ever had something wrong with your car and the Lord helped you fix it? Have you had a simple decision and couldn't figure out how to get around, and you waited, paused, prayed, asked for wisdom, and an idea came to you like, I never even thought about that. All of a sudden, here you got it. Practical, practical. Okay, so God is practical. You understand that? And so let's look up James chapter 1, verse 22-23. We're going to talk about practical Christianity. Okay? Because even though things are theological and theoretical, you have to be able to live them, or they're no good to you. On your job, or they're no good to you. Okay, my son came and he needed a job, or he needed something like that, and I had to be able to say, this is what we're going to do for you. We're going to get your hopes up. We're going to get your hopes up. And then I'm going to hope up by encouragement. Then I'm going to give you verses of scripture that's going to get your faith up, and then you're going to receive what your faith says. And he did. And that's the way it'll work the next time, too. You want a better job? How many of you know there's entry-level jobs, medium-level jobs? How many of you know there's promotions? Come on, say amen, oh me, or ouch. There is, okay? You sure there is, okay? James chapter 1, verse 22. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Go to the next verse if you have it. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, everybody say doer. Okay? He's like a man observing his face, his natural face in a mirror. Go ahead. If you don't have the next verse, okay, maybe you didn't put that one in there, okay? So if you hear the word and don't do it. Now, you're hearing a lot of word. If you're in this church and I give you a bunch of word and you don't do it, you're going to get into trouble after a while. Why? Because you hear it. It'll actually harden you against it unless you do it. I'm talking about just what he said, okay? If you're a hearer, if he observes himself and he goes away, it's like I look in the mirror, I see a pimple on my head, or I see a blemish, or see my hair out of place. I go, there it is. Yep, there it is. And then I go away, and immediately, for what kind of a person I was, I forget. I don't fix it. Okay? For he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, which is the word of God, which is the law of love, which is the do unto others as you would have them do unto you, which is love your neighbor as yourself, which is a condensed version of the whole Bible down to a nugget. He looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer. By the way, anybody remember what I preached about last week? You're all under arrest. Thank you. You've been charged for being a forgetful. Being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does, the doing of it. So all the things we're going to talk about next couple weeks here, as we're coming to the end here, okay, basically your relationship with God by praying and by being in your Bible regularly, I'm going to play you a video about this in a minute, it all comes down to doing something, doing deeds, doing things. Okay, Doug's caught in a snowstorm and he's praying. Of course, I'm praying real time. I need some real time help. I'm praying on the go. People call me for years. People call me on the phone with disastrous emergencies. And I got my one hand here. I got my phone here. I got my hand over thing. I'm there. Oh, God, I need your help right now. What do I tell them? And then I tell them something that's really good. And they go, oh, thank you, thank you. I go, what did I just say? The Lord feed my mind with wisdom for them, for situations that I can't imagine, that did not come out of my natural mind. Happens all the time. One day or 2 days, I remember I answer a phone, emergency situation. I put the phone down in the cradle, and before I can get my hand off it, it ring again. Put it down before I hit my hand off it, ring again. Bonk, bonk. I'm getting exercise, okay? I burned out a couple of phones doing that. And so I got exercised in asking God for help right there. Do it about 50 times. Seriously, I'm not exaggerating. Before you know it, you go, man, God, he's an ever-ready help in time of trouble. There's a Bible verse like that. It helps. Right? Okay. Let's play that, Brian. Remember I said you do it that way? Okay, go to the next. Go ahead. Uh-oh, what's that? Oh, that's another thing, okay?
My sophomore year in college.
Turn this up.
I was taking a Bible doctrines class. The teacher of the class told us we would have open Bible quizzes and exams. So I decided that it would be a good idea to go and buy myself a good Bible. So I went to the local ABC and got myself a large size Bible so that there was room between all the lines to be able to write notes. After I had been using the Bible for about one quarter of the class, because we had a three-quarter course, I decided this was foolish. I was just using the Bible to study for the class. I should be reading the Bible as part of my activities. And so the following January, I decided I would start with Genesis 1 and read the Bible cover to cover. I also calculated out that if I were to read 3 chapters a day, and 5 chapters on Sabbath, I could finish the Bible in just short of 1 year's time. And so that was the plan I started. When I got to books of the Bible like Psalms, of course, I read a little bit more than just 3 chapters because some of the Psalms are so short. And I finished reading the Bible through the first time in October. Well, that was a fun thing to do, to say I had read it in 1 year's time. But then by the next January, I realized I was missing out on something. I should not just start reading the Bible when I finished it for the year. I should start again. And so the second January, I started reading the Bible again from Genesis 1. But this time, when I reached Revelation, I started over again in Genesis. And through the years, I have kept on that habit of reading the Bible every morning. While I was doing my doctor's degree, I discovered that I needed more than just reading 3 chapters or 5 chapters a day, because I was in very intense study, and I needed to make sure that I didn't have cobwebs in my head so I could learn my lessons. And so I reached the point of reading 20 chapters every morning before I started my studies. I finished the whole Bible 6 times in 1 year's time. I have kept up the Bible reading since I got my degree. And as I have traveled to different countries, I have varied the amount I read. In my retirement, I have decided it would be better not just to read the Bible in the morning, but to read the Bible in the morning and the evening. And so now I read 5 chapters in the morning and 5 chapters in the evening. But there's something very interesting that I have discovered happens. This Bible that I bought when I was in college, I have taken it around the world with me, and I have read it cover to cover, that is Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. I'm now in my 190th time through the Bible in this copy. Each day in the morning when I read the Bible, I always look for something new, because my son always likes me to send him some new idea that I came across in the reading. And every time, no matter how many times I have read through the Bible, I always find new things and new ideas, new approaches to what the Bible is saying. And it's a very fascinating process, because besides having new experiences day by day, I also have new concepts from the last time I read the Bible to this current reading. And so I recommend that the Bible is not a book that becomes old. It's a book that is continually new. And if we continue reading the Bible, it never becomes old, and it will always have new ideas, new revelation, and give us the opportunity to draw closer to Jesus every day.
That is a testimony of a college student who started reading the Bible for a class. And reading it through, you heard what he said, reading it through, then he goes, when I started working, I was really getting busy, I needed more of the Bible. So I was reading 20. Now, do you know how long it takes to read 20 chapters? Anybody know? It takes about an hour. But he was doing it as he was studying it to be a doctoral student, which is very busy time. They got you 7 days. He said, I'm reading an hour to clear out my head. The busier I got, the more I wanted it. And then, I'm not saying, this is his pattern, because you see, there's 1,189 chapters, and if you divide that by so many days in a week, it comes out to about 3 or 4 chapters. Well, he was reading 3 a day, and then 5 on Sunday. But then he goes, well, I got into the Psalms, they're so short, I had read more of those. So he adapted, he started reading. And you say, I don't understand everything I read. I know, this is strong stuff. And it begins to seizing you and prepare you and transform you. And man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. And you need to know those words. Those words were divinely chosen, and they're imbued with power that you don't know what the potential of it, okay? And you say, well, I've read that before. Is there anybody who said, I've had eggs before, I never want to eat eggs again. I've had a hamburger before, I never want to have a hamburger. I mean, how many times are you going to eat hamburger again and again? I've had chicken, I don't ever want to have chicken again. That's the silliest thing. Okay, I'm going to eat the words of Jesus over and over and over and over, and I find something new. I was reading through the Bible the other day, myself, okay, through the Bible, and all of a sudden the Lord showed me something. Now, he shows me stuff at my level or above. He's always trying to pull me up, okay? Now, this is one of the things. Now, this might be too deep. It might be a pearl for some of you. You might think I'm crazy, okay? But, you know, Jesus went through his life, and his life was meant to be a sacrifice to free us, okay? And he went through all this stuff, and then he went through his passion, and he was whipped, and he was abused, and he was falsely accused, and he was drawn in, he was thrown into jail, he died a criminal's death, and all this stuff like that. But of all the things that happened to him externally, okay, his blood was 100% sinless and pure and innocent and completely undefiled, okay? So they might have done all kinds of things to his body, but they couldn't bring down, and they couldn't defile, they couldn't, whatever, the devil and all his minions, they couldn't defile his blood. And so the blood of Jesus, which saves us, the blood of the only righteous, innocent man who ever lived, covers my life completely, forever. Complete 100% acceptance from all previous rejection. Complete 100% love from all abandonment. Complete 100% grace when I was under condemnation from all kinds of my own sins. Because that blood is 100% perfect. And the life of the flesh is in the blood, which God gives for an atonement for the soul. The active ingredient, you go to Walmart, you look at 6 different brands of the same thing, and you look around the back, it'll say, the active ingredient is the same, okay? The active ingredient in your salvation is literally the blood of the Son of God. You're bought with a price. The price is the blood of the only innocent man who ever lived. And nothing can stop that. The blood that Jesus shed for me, way, way back on Calvary. The blood gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain and flows to the lowest valley. It's the blood gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. And that got a hold of me, the robe of righteousness. All the fighting to be accepted, all the fighting to be loved, all the fighting to understand, it's all over. I got that by reading the book. No wonder dictators hate that book. No wonder the devil always tries to misquote it. No wonder, I tell you what, you start to read your Bible. We're going to talk about your practical things, your daily prayer time, your quiet time. I guarantee, if you want to have a quiet time, you'll have to fight for it. You set aside a place and try to fight for your quiet. Everything, the phone will ring, your lumbago will start to kick up. Everything will start to happen to you, okay? You know, whatever, okay? Try to set a time. Watch what happens to the enemy. Oh, you can't do that. You don't need that. You don't want to be like Pastor John, do you? He's crazy. You know, whatever the excuse is. I had a group of people that were coming to church and they wanted to get into ministry stuff. I said, well, write me a letter about what you want to do. And I said, then I'll give you some ideas of how you can start. And about getting up early and doing some certain type of praying. And one person came and goes, Pastor, I try to get up and all kinds of things are kind of get me. Thoughts and crazy. I can't pray. I can't fast. I can't do this. I can't come to church every week. How many of you ever have a battle just trying to get to church sometime? And you think, well, it's a spiritual battle. But you can win it, but it's the devil's not going to let you go. He's not going to try. He's going to try to hinder you. He's trying to hinder you. I'll tell you some practical things that'll just blow your mind, okay? And but be a doer of the word. Okay, we're coming to the end here. Be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Because you can know a lot, but if you don't do. In fact, one time, I'll give you one more story. One time I had a dog. His name was Bogey. And he kept on running away, chasing his nose down the block and around. And I was living in Belleville, Illinois, and the dog catcher was active. And my dog kept getting arrested. And you know how embarrassing it is to go down to the dog pound and try to have to bail your dog out? One time. Two time. I mean, you see, you go down and you convert. They got you tag on. They call you. And, of course, these people are dog lovers. And they go, you left your dog out. Who let the dog out? You. Okay? And I get scolded by the dog lovers for being a bad master. I go down there. I go, yeah, there he is. Okay? And then they give me a piece of paper. And I got to drive across the town to the courthouse. Park, go up to the office, pay the fine, go back there and get another dirty look in a lecture. One time, two time, three time. I mean, chase a rabbit and didn't know how to get back home or whatever, you know. So about the fourth time, I was thinking, I'm just going to let him there. And I was just about to turn into my house, let him there, and the Lord spoke and goes, go get him. Oh, okay, I go get him. And I got down there, and boy, they really saved the best tongue lashing for this time. This lady said that this dog was up on her porch and scratching at her screen door, and it messed up her screen, and she's going to not be you, and you're going to get to pay for them. You know, I feel like I'm called down to the principal's office and getting tongue lashed by my mom all at the same time. And I'm getting, I'm not going to pay for your screen door. Who do you think you are? I got the dog in the back. He's in the doghouse, of course. And I'm going to take him back. I'm going to put two double chains on him or something like that. And I'm driving back. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit speaks to me. And he says, I'm not going to pay those people. I'm not going to. And the Lord says to me, do unto others as you would want them to do to you. How would you feel if some stray dog came up and scratched on your. And by the way, how's your joy right now? My joy went, I go, If a dog did that to me, I'd be all upset about it. I go, okay, Lord, you're right. I'm wrong. I'll even buy him an extra screen. Okay? All of a sudden, my condemnation and my lack of peace disappeared, but peace came back to me. Never did hear about a screen door. But the lack of peace and the appearance of peace showed me that I had stepped out of the throne zone. See, you have a zone inside you called the throne zone. And it's built with right doing, peace, and joy. And if your peace is gone and your joy is gone, you're outside the zone. Okay, and you need to repent of something or forgive something, or you need to do something where you disobeyed something. Okay? And when you do, it'll come right back. And if you know that, you'll always walk with God and you'll be successful and you'll never get stumbled if you obey it. Okay? Do unto others as you want people to do to you. That's living prophetically. How do I want someone to do to me? I'll do to them first, and therefore I'll reap it. If you look into the perfect law of liberty, which is what? Do to other people like you want them to do to you. Do it. Do it to them. Do it, you know. Say they yell at you. Well, don't yell at them. You don't want something. You know what I'm saying? Work this out. It's very powerful. Practical. And if you're married, you got to know some of these things. I can out yell my wife, but I will lose the battle.
Amen.
And all the ladies say amen.
Amen.
I can. I got a pair of lungs on me. I can, without a microphone, I can light the room up, okay? But that doesn't mean I'm going to bring peace to my house. I might have to, you know, when I played football, I learned not only how to give a hit, but also to take a hit. But if, you know. So, when Max came over to our house, and he had a little sticky ball, and he goes, look, Grandpa, and he like this, and it stuck to the ceiling. And he was happy, but it wouldn't come right down. So he was trying to get it down. So he picked up a pillow, and he threw the pillow at the thing on the ceiling, but it went all the way over here, and it hit Carol's candle that was sitting with a whole big bunch of wax liquid, and the wax flew all over the place and got all over the wall like this. And I said, the game is afoot, Sherlock. What are we going to do now? Does my practical Christianity work at home? We're about to find out. Because everybody's mad and everybody's we want to get the kid. So what I did was I grabbed Max and took him down to the basement and saved him from the wrath to come, you see. So come out with me, Max. And I saved Max from a bunch of, people of the female persuasion. Were you there, Nana?
No, but I heard about it.
Yeah, I bet you did. I mean, this stuff, practical godliness in your home, in your job. And when I don't know what to do, I ask inwardly. I say, Lord, I need to know. I need to know what to do. I need to know what to do. You know, if you ever have a computer head and you look up the Windows software, it'll say file over here and this and this and this and edit. But on this one, it'll say help. You press the help, it go down, okay, and he goes, ask a question. So there's a tutor built into that program where you can ask a general question. Same as in God. I say, Lord, what do I do about that? And then I'd be quiet, listen, believing. If you ask for wisdom, nothing doubting, you'll get something. I say, okay, what do I do? Wait a minute, just wait. Once you get it, okay. I do this all the time, Doug. Do you do this all the time? I do this all the time. You know, I outwardly I look. Inwardly, I'm going, help, 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 help. And he helps me. He helps me. Let's all stand. So we're going to talk about practical Christianity here. Okay? And remember, you're going to get a flyer this week, and you're going to come to adoption dinner, and you're going to eat chicken, and we're going to have fun, So this is your assignment, okay? You see how this man, he decided he was going to read the Bible for his class. But then he goes, you know, I had to read my Bible because it's good for what ails me and gives me what I ain't got hardly. Put hair on my chest. He started reading it. Oh, I read it. Oh, I did it. Good. found new stuff. Before you know it, I'm reading it. Then he's been reading it. He read it all the way through his career, all the way in. Now he's reading it in his retirement. Matter of fact, his son, this guy was a medical doctor, but his son was a pastor. And his son always calls him and asks him for ideas, which means dad, who reads the Bible, is giving his son, the pastor, sermon ideas. Where do you think I get my sermon ideas, by the way? Oh, maybe I get it from AI. I know who's got AI beat. Holy Ghost has AI beat, okay? Okay, so if you don't have a regular Bible chart or a Bible reading, not studying, just reading, okay? This is the time of the year to start. A Bible reading plan. If you have your favorite Bible, if you don't have a favorite Bible, get a favorite Bible. I can recommend some different versions. New King James. King James is too hard for some people. I look up every word anyway. ESV, English Standard Version, good versions of the Bible, okay? No English translation is 100% perfect, but they're close. Some are better than others, okay? And I can recommend some, okay? Depends on your level of education. Some people like the Living Bible. But just so you're regularly getting into it, God will show you stuff that you can't find any. It's full of genius ideas from God, okay? And then your time of prayer. You know how to pray. Don't wait. How many of you know you can't wait till Christmas Eve to go buy your Christmas presents, okay? And you can't wait till you've not prayed and then all of a sudden you're in trouble and now you want to pray, okay? You're going to be scrambling. Live this way. And what this lets you do is when you know what to do, you do what you know. Okay, so I know what to do. These are the most important things in your life. These are the most important things of the world. Whatever, you can be in 100 different jobs, different trades, but this stuff runs your heart. I don't care if I remember hearing a pilot say, he goes, I was flying over this airport, I was flying on a Cessna, and there was no way to get through the clouds. I couldn't tell where the airport was. I was in danger. And I said, and the Lord said, why don't you ask me to help you? He goes, Lord, help me. All of a sudden, a hole opened in the clouds. Sun went through. He goes, there's the earth. There it is. He got down. A pilot? Oh, yes. What does the Lord have to do? Why don't you ask me to help you? I'll even help you get help that you don't know that you can get. And then you'll stand out in front and say you have a story. And then you have a history with God. If he helped you once, he'll help you again because he put his mercy on you and he didn't leave it. He didn't leave you alone. I will never leave you and never forsake you. That way you can live for God and you can love for God and you're not a religious weirdo. You're just a son of God and this becomes second nature and you can live and laugh and joy and be normal, okay? You're living in God's universe. I mean, you've been eating his food your whole life and breathing his air your whole life and walking on his green grass. You think you ought to get to know who he is and what he wants for you. He does care about you. Somebody say amen. Amen. What a good preaching, Pastor John. You really are not too bad. I said, thank you very much, Pastor John. I got to get some feedback somewhere. Father in heaven, we lift our hands in your presence and we believe in you and we thank you. I pray bless your men with manly blessings, powerful, straightforward. Bless your ladies with visitations of understanding. Lord, I pray for the visionaries that they would have great visions. I pray for the practical people, they would know great implementations. I pray for this year that we might be simple and to the point and sharing goodness of God everywhere without fear. I'm not trying to grasp people, not trying to drag them to church, just trying to say, this is who he is. He's good to me. Freely I receive, freely I give. Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Amen. I met a lady in the vitamin aisle down in Walmart. She goes, are you a doctor? I said, I'm not a doctor. I'm not even a nurse. Before you know it, I helped her with the vitamins, and she said, I'm a pastor. She goes, oh, I go to Christ Wesleyan in Milton. Can you pray for my son? He's got cancer. His name's Aaron. I go, let's pray. Boy, did she know what she was asking for? She had no idea. I said, I felt anointing all right. I said, hi, let me hold your hand. I started getting emails from her and Facebook messages. His blood tests are doing good. I guess that lady will never come to church here probably. I don't care. That's not the point, trying to get everybody to come and fill one of these. That's not the point is giving him away. Simple. Turn to somebody and say, I believe in Jesus. Amen. And you can be dismissed in the love of God today.